Here we go. We went over on Sunday, and again, this is probably going to turn out to be more even than a three-sermon series, because this is really important. I can't get over how important this is, and the timing, you'll never know why the timing has turned out to be so amazing as well. Even at this moment, the stress is there, knowing that we're under attack, personally under attack stuff. We have here the Scriptures, the authority of the Scriptures. This isn't my two cents or my opinions of why we're having the troubles we're all having or the challenge we're having. This is from Scriptures, the things that talk about why we would go back into the world and or just slip back and, you know, raise the skirts and get the booze going and the drinks guys just giving up and saying, where's God at? And I got two really good verses tonight that I'm looking forward to talking about. And if I was your normal pastor preacher guy, I would talk about those two verses and we'd be done. But I don't want to do that. So anyway, I know I come across like an Eeyore and the whole thing. You know, I got to remember, I'm in a public school all day watching just junk. I mean, seriously, just junk. These little kids don't stand a chance in this world, let alone spiritually. It's a hard thing to see. I know you guys work in the stores and you see customers coming in all the time, Peter and Floyd, and you see the world at its max when they come into the store to get their food. I'm sure they're dressed horribly, they act horribly, and I bet you a lot of them say they're Christians. So we all put up with this stuff, and I know we do, and it gets us frustrated. But I'm talking here about a Paul following. I made a standard. I have something I wanted to say in my life. I'm going to take a stand on Paul's teachings, and people are slowly whittling it away, or I'm letting it go away, or I'm just running out of time, or I'm running out of energy. What would the Scriptures say to us about the potential of us being Demas followers? You look at the few things that Paul said about Demas, they were all right. They're fellow soldiers, I think it says. They were in the battle together. What happened with Demas? What happened with Jeremiah? We know what happened with Jeremiah. He got tired of the people close to him hassling him. My familiars, people he was close to, and he wanted to quit. And the Word of God worked on him, and he didn't. He couldn't quit. What about Nehemiah? He had under compromise. He was under threat of slander. He was under the threat of being made to do wrong, and they were going to make him do wrong just to show that he doesn't have to do it. How many people would fight that one? Mocked. He was mocked for it. Money got involved. There's always money involved in this stuff, it seems like. Paul, I mean, look at all the things that happened to Paul. And he never gave up. But there was one time he says he was willing to give up his life, though. So that's pretty low, or whatever. He knows he's the worst of all sinners, wanted out of this body, because it was the body's fault, not his. So, it can happen to each one of us. Oh, and by the way, I got a letter today or yesterday from a young lady. She's 17, I think. She's a foreign exchange student in Finland. She's American. And I'll send you the testimony. It is a marvelous testimony of this young lady who is fighting what she's fighting. She wants to get into the modesty thing. She wants to do the music thing, and she's in Finland, putting up with them, you know, Finland with their modern ways up there. She had quite a testimony in that letter. So, if anybody wants to read it, like Adriana, her name is even Adriana, if I remember correctly. So, maybe find a little pen pal there, and we're patients. Are you up there yet tonight? No, you didn't make it there tonight. She's probably stuck working or something there, I suppose. So, Mark read the thing that the young lady ran across us on one of our iPod casts. Is that how you say that? An iPod cast? And she's really on fire for what's doing right with Paul. So we'll see how that goes. And I thought I had something else I was going to knock around here. I don't suppose anybody looks at that Pickles cartoon. You're probably not old enough to want to look at Pickles and Opal. I get out Pickles cartoon yesterday, if I do this right. I can't remember it now, but it was really good about, let's see here, Pickles cartoon. Oh, Lil Nelson, which is a marvelous name for this kid, goes up to Grandpa and asks him, can we do something fun, or we're no fun, or something like that. And the grandma says, people that are not happy have to go out for fun, because she says she's happy. And I looked at that and I thought, well, you know, that's really true. Look at how many farce book, busy-bodied Christian women, and even guys up there, spend a lot of time on there, are not happy with being a Paul Christian. They don't like what they're wearing. They don't like the hassle. They don't like being quiet. That's got to be hard to be quiet when you don't want to be. The careers, quit this and do that. That's got to be hard. There's a lot of these Christians are not happy, apparently, and the children are not happy. The wives are not happy. So instead of getting out of the house, they get onto this computer, which is still leaving your home, and they're not happy. And so they go out to find this fun stuff to make them happy. And we got Christians. Why are Christians not happy? A serious Christian. I did get an article the other day also about the actual military is actually saying that Christians are a danger to this country. And everybody's up in arms. Baldwin, I think his name was. Something Baldwin. Saying that the Christians, Christians ought to get mad that the military is saying that the Christians, the millennial people that think that Christ is coming back, are dangerous to this country. And you know, when you look at the way the world is going to look at that article, those Christians that say they're Christians, they are dangerous for this country. They are not putting out a true testimony. They're not being the Christians they need to be from Paul's teachings. And in fact, we know that the Antichrist comes to conquer. So the teaching has been to a lot of these serious churches, we need to conquer this country for Christ. And that isn't what is going to happen. So yeah, those out there that think they're Christians, and they're not living by the book as such, they're dangerous. They're going to lead this country right into the tribulation under this name of this another Jesus. So yeah, the army's right. But unfortunately, those Christians who are right, and who do rightly divide, and do King James Bible, we're the ones that are going to suffer for all this other stuff. So anyway, those are the two things I wanted to mention. So the notes are online. It's one set of notes for all the sermons so far. I'll probably separate them later. But tonight we're going to be doing part three. What have we got here so far? We've got the scriptures say that we're going to fall down, fall apart. We're told the people will not endure. Paul was even in doubt with others. So should we with ourselves. People expect us to cave in. Oh, I got a good verse on that thing tonight here. We talk about it, but not like this. And then he talks in Jeremiah, if thou hast run to the footman and you're tired now, what are you going to do when the things really get serious? You think you've got battles now? Just wait till you have to do something that is really against your convincings. See if it really was your convincing, if you're just dressing like that to cover up the fat or something. Are you uncomfortable that way? How much longer is it going to take for it to get higher and higher and higher? How much longer are you going to wait for it to get tighter, tighter, tighter? I keep hearing from ladies out there that you can't find anything. Well, whip up the sewing machine or something. Guys, you can't take care of your wife. So what we're going to do is we're just going to give in and go out there like that because there's nothing available? So see, that tells me that it's not a modest issue. It's not a spiritual issue. It's just a personal preference. Because if you can't find something to cover up, then I guess you don't go outside. That's how I would look at it if I was in that boat. But whatever. People expect us to cave in. If we're not strong enough, how are we going to handle it later? There must be a falling away. The Antichrist is going to come in peaceably with flatteries and magnify himself. And he's already doing sort of stuff like that. There must be a falling away. Then we look at particular things. Overwhelming personal obstacles. I'm the first to realize that we have obstacles that it would take a miracle to overcome physically. And there's obstacles out there that will keep you from doing right. Job issues, lousy parents, lousy wives, lousy husbands. A job that's not the right thing, whether you should even have it or not. Finances, the need for finances is what we need to do here. We're probably just reaping what we reaped from our sowing in our earlier years. I had one guy write to me, and he was mad at God. He didn't want to be mad at God. He just said, God's going to take my foot because of a diabetes thing. And I wrote him back, and he says, why are you blaming God for that? You think God's just going to yank your foot off? How'd you get diabetes? How about checking out your eating habits? I know the person quite well. And it was coming. So why would that be God's fault? And he wrote back and said, that wasn't what he was intending to say. Well, we put a lot of blame on God, and it's just us reaping what we sowed here. We've got flesh battling our mind. We got so many personal obstacles. Sorry, job, finances, da 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 da. Flesh battles over the mind. Paul tells us that money is becoming our god, our necessity. Some people still don't understand rightly dividing because they're not capable of reading their Bible slowly and with study habits and pulling stuff out of there that's in there. Full of doubt, just can't get rid of religion. Sermon 2, Sunday night, we talked about getting spoiled. spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit. After the rudiments of the world, the tradition of man, and not after Christ. The wrong desires put us back into bondage. Wrong affection. We have our affection towards earthly things, and there's a bunch of verses on that. Flesh's affection without natural affection, and vile affection. I've got a couple comments here about the time is not important to the younger people versus us older, aged people. And some people aren't renewed daily because you don't read your Bible daily. We're running out of strength, unthankful, and unappreciative. That's us. And then lastly, we like it this way. Jeremiah said over and over and over, his people like this the way it was. Right. How many Christians do you talk to that talk to them about politics and Obama and health and all these things, and they say, well, when the country's back out of shape, I don't picture this country getting back out of shape. Well, this is the original shape. Okay, so that gets us up to tonight. Here we go. Let's get going on this stuff. There's a lot of good stuff in here. What can happen to us here? Well, here's one of my favorite ones. This is part three. Some of these are not on the notes. I didn't get that caught up here. And that is, look at Romans chapter 2. You know, you go to churches, you go to these Baptist conferences and all this stuff, and people are saying, amen, oh, preach it to me. You know, hit me hard. Slap me on the back. I'll park there, brother, and all this kind of stuff. And they say they can take tough preaching. We can take Dr. Ruckman and all that stuff. You know who these preacher guys can't take? They can't take Paul. And Paul doesn't preach what these guys preach, doesn't preach like they preach. You just take these guys to Timothy and Titus, and you just stand up there and read those verses point blank. The women will be shifting around, and the men will feel horrible because they expect their wife to work and pull in that extra income. And he's the one supposed to provide. Oh, there's stuff in Paul that just hammers the people. So, what would cause you to leave the gang here or whatever? Well, you'd probably get tired of me talking about women's role in the home. You'd get tired of me talking about lousy parents, lousy marriages, kids, lousy kids making things difficult, cooking this and cooking that and have this and all the cleanup stuff. So, yeah. It can happen. Just preach Paul. Just tell him. Well, you know, just read the verse. Sound doctrine. But the other thing, because Paul's all about doing the manner of life, but the other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, I'm trying to figure out why these guys or people don't want to listen and read and believe the goodness of God. Imputation. Spiritual circumcision. All things are lawful. But there's still strings attached. But why does this bother people so much? It's just amazing. You know, how could the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, be a problem to these Christians? Pride. People want to have something to do with whatever they got to do with God. You've got people earning their blessings now because they've done good enough in their life that they don't have to forgive for all these sins, and God is blessing them. But if you go to Paul, he doesn't operate that way now. The spiritual blessings, not physical. You won't be able to say that your lack of chastisement because you're having a successful job, you've got money, you've got health, and as far as you're concerned, it's because God is blessing you. And he's not chastising you. So whatever you're doing, listening to crummy music or whatever you're doing, because of God's grace, it's not being picked up out of that thing, and you're able to say to people, see, I'm not being chastised. But see, if you go to Paul, you'll find out why you're not being chastised. Well, buddy, the lost people aren't being chastised either. Matter of fact, you're probably being chastised more if you're a Bible reader, because they don't even have to read a Bible. They just get God's chastisement there. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. So, yeah, why do people leave? They can't take Paul's preaching. And I guess they can't take Paul's son's preaching either about Paul. Here's another one. What could cause us to go back? Well, we could be sublimed. We can be seduced. And that's in Second Timothy. And here's my question. If we realize that this subliming and this subtle, this seducing spirits thing will take place, how will we know when we're being seduced or tricked? Because of your King James Bible, rightly divided. So we've got ways of being sublimely destroyed here. It says here, giving heed to these false teachings. We've got evil communications. 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about being seduced. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, that's the key one for tonight's sermon here. Galatians 3, 1. Here we go, Galatians 3, 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth? So, how do you know you're being seduced? Because if you know you're being seduced, you're not being seduced. You're being tricked or something, but you're not being seduced. What kind of seducing is available in music? Have you ever talked about it with somebody, a musician? The backward stuff, the backmasking stuff, all sorts of things. They can hurt adults now, too, I understand. Let me look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Here's something else that we need to look at here. I think it might be 1 Timothy. I'll let you know. Yep, it's 1. That's not even there. Oh, 2 Thessalonians. There we go. Here's another one that just puzzles me to death. And maybe because when I was a kid, I was able to play in my backyard, play by myself, and do fine. Now, with my wife in San Diego right now, I'm not doing the greatest. I'm not doing horrible like I was in Ohio. And she was even in the house. There's some medical issues and spiritual issues going on back there. So these are some tough times for us. And I'm stuck here trying to get this house fixed up so it's livable when we get going here. But the thing that puzzles me, one of the most things that puzzles me the most is when Paul tells us to avoid. He tells us to withdraw from. He tells us to turn away from. He tells us to neither give heed. He tells us to purge. He tells us to reject. And my question has to be, why don't we do that? And I'm talking we. Why don't we avoid? Here's a question for you. Without looking at your Bible, do you have a general concept of what it is you're supposed to avoid? Do you have a concept about what it is you're supposed to I just lost my train of thought here. From withdraw. Who is that we're supposed to withdraw from? Why do we not withdraw from them? It says not to be partakers of. So why do we use these grace tickets here to not avoid, to not withdraw? Not to give heed to this lady, this type of thing, to purge, which Christ will do there for us, and I don't know. It just amazes me that we've got people that just keep right on plodding along. So there's that thing. I got one more comment in the notes. Music, there's your seducing tool of the devil today, big time. I've got music feeding you fables, feelings, and flesh in your worship. We're supposed to avoid these things. So if you couldn't tell me right now what you're supposed to avoid, who should you withdraw from? Which one is? Where do you get this thing about being seduced? Because you don't know when it's happening. You ever try to tell a girl or a wife or a daughter or something that what they're doing is not good? You can't explain it, but you try it anyway, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. We're supposed to withdraw, and we don't. We hang around this stuff. Well, we have to work. I know that. But, you know, in most of these cases, I guess I'm talking about ladies. Look at the churches. They're full of ladies. Look at who's running the ships. Full of ladies. So, anyway. So, there's one point. And then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And we see the great one there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. There's your verse. For Demas hath forsaken me. He loves this present world. What's so hot about this present world, anyway? Well, it's pretty high-techy. Music's pretty exciting. The emphasis is on the flesh. Everybody would like that. There's enough of a welfare program starting here that we'll be able to have money given to us just because we have a headache or something. Yeah, we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. 2 Timothy 3, 9 and 10. We see that there's that folly, but they proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But hast thou fully known my doctrine among the purpose? Manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, and patience, and it just goes on. So, I tell you, this present world is pretty exciting. Yet we also find out that Paul tells us something to do with that second world we're kind of hanging around. I think it's in 2 Timothy 3. Probably not. I got to miss one verse tonight. 2 Timothy 3. And we see here that verse 9, where he talks about the folly. I like this verse. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But then he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, truth, long-suffering, charity, and patience. So, people have a miserable life, and it's because they're Christians, according to this. But they might not be, and there's that folly. So, one of the things that gets us to get back into this present world is, we have understood the folly. We've understood religion. We've understood everything. And we get out of it. It's like taking kids out of public school, but you don't do anything with them within your home. I'm still waiting for the right attitude to get to preach my homeschooling sermon. It's like we find out what's wrong with church and the disaster that's wrong with churches and stuff. So what do? Nothing. Either we stay there, but we don't go to where the teaching is being done. So see, we understand the folly that's out there. We know the government, get yourself caught up in the affairs of this life. We know that. So we understand the folly of religion. We understand the folly of education. Although I don't think a lot of parents do what's going on in these schools behind the scenes of parenting. But oh well, it's not good, believe me. And we're in a conservative school system out here. So we don't want that folly stuff, but we won't do what's right. When somebody says, "Where's God? I don't see Him in my life." Okay, so you get rid of this religion that you had. So now you think there is no God? Why? Why do you think that? How about finding the right God? How about finding the right one? It's in the Bible. You can find Him. It's not hard. So anyway, we just love this present world. Look at how they get to dress. Look at how they get to behave. Ladies, look at all the power the women are having today. You've got it made. But if you love God and you want to do what God would have you to do, then you don't go out there and do that. That's the folly of it all, is everybody thinks they're going to church dressed really nice for that particular morning, and then they go home and they walk home with their little finger sticking out of their hands, and they're just having a good time. They walk in the door, it's roar again all over the place. Get over there, do this, do that, do this, whatever. What are you doing going to take a nap and all this kind of junk? It's like, whoa, I thought you understood the folly. Well, I do understand the folly. Okay, can we make it go the right way then? Is there a right way to worship God? Is there a right way to look at your Bible? Well, sure there is. I'm hoping maybe I can help somebody just get into their Bible and see some stuff here. So anyway, there's that one. Here's a quickie. Now maybe I should do some other ones just in case here. Where was my one verse? Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3 for a minute here. It was back when we were talking about we're being sublimed, we're being seduced, knowing that we don't know when we're being sublimed and seduced. But listen to this set of verses. This kind of started to click with me today, which is, I'm sure nobody out there has some verses you've read through and you haven't taken time to study what that all means, because it probably means looking around this and all that. But anyway, here we go. It's chapter, is that a 2? Well, I sure hope so. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Chapter 3, 1 to 5. There we go. And then verses 4 and 5. That isn't what I want. Grr, 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 grr. Okay, we'll come back to that one. Mark that thing. I'll come back to that thing later. There is another one we can look up here. Okay, here we go. Love the present world. Here's one. No authority. No final authority. When somebody asks a question, or you think of something, or they read something, and you wonder, is this legitimate? Do you just kind of grab your Bible for your reference book to check it out to see if this is right? That's how that should be. Joel Osteen was on the other night. I thought I watched this guy. And, he was horrible. He was just terrible. But the few itty bits of the scriptures that he quoted, they weren't King James at all. They weren't even right. It's just amazing. So that Bible is our final authority. It's your authority until you're the final authority until you finally grab your Bible and say, well, let's look it up and see what God would ask us to do. What we need to do. How about parents? How about a wife for a final authority? How about a husband for a final authority? It was just a jerk kind of a thing. I mean, Psalm 138:2 says that this word, his word must be magnified even above his name. So when people talk about Jesus, this Bible outranks this Jesus, whoever they're talking about. Because we can go to Revelation chapter 6, we can prove that they got the false Jesus, da-da-da-da, in case anybody's listening out there that's Seventh-day Adventist. Okay, so let's look at another one here. So many scribbles on here. I enjoy doing this. I wish I could get it across to people to stand up and take some charge. If you could just take a little charge of your life, just a little bit, that'd be great. Okay, now here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This one means a lot to me as well here. 2 Corinthians chapter, hope you all can stay for this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 to 13. You know the verses. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to one measure of the church, which God hath minded to us. A measure to reach even unto you. Now, verse 12. What would cause us to quit over this stuff? It's because we compare ourselves to somebody else, which we know that. But here's my biggest point here. Is change a good thing? Are we going to justify our going backwards by using the word change? And you look at this thing in verse 12, and we know that the world is changing. I've heard lady after lady after lady say that you can't find this kind of stuff anymore. And you can't find these. And you can't. The material's getting so expensive and all that stuff. But the change thing here, if they can't. You know, we know where fashions are going. Smaller, smaller, smaller. Less and less and less. What if it does get to the point where you just can't find anything? And I've heard this from many ladies. Well, we sew. Some everybody can't sew. Everybody's got the time to sew. So do you just put on what the world says you need to put on and go out there and traipse around in the world in the way the world says to put on? See, we got to ask ourselves, with where we're standing right now, are we doing it because we want to do it or it's the right thing to do and I will fight this thing from the top to the bottom? Look at the stores. Look at how much change in the stores and we put up with it. Look at the music that we accept. We go into restaurants now. Look at who the people we order from, and they bring us our water. And we've seen on TV that some of those people, they spit into the water. How about some of the displays in the stores? You've got mannequins now that if they didn't move, you'd think they were real. Very detailed and very tight. Look at the fashions. You ladies trying to buy a shoe. How many hours does it take you to find a shoe? I've never seen so many shoes other than in ladies' closets. Skirt color, skirt lengths. I notice that that a lot of the ladies' things nowadays are getting lower and lower and lower. And you can't find something in some of these catalogs that are high enough up. You can't do it. And if you do find something, that's going to cost you a fortune because some little Amish person had to make it. It's getting tough. I know it's getting tough. Do we go along with this change? Because if we go along with this change, I believe, it's just me, that we're going backwards. It makes the world happy to see us get into there. It's just like when you do your kids for homeschool, and then finally they end up going to a sports thing, or they go to a class, they go to school for their ninth year or something. Boom, testimony gone. What about those people that just want you to? They'll just wait on you, let you trip up yourself. What kind of love? Paul wasn't that way. Well, anyway, so that one just has to deal with, what was that part of my notes here? Oh, okay, we're up there doing the Corinthians thing here. You know what all that is? That's bondage. And he says in Galatians, who has bewitched you? Why are you going back into the bondage when you're letting the world tell you how to dress? You're letting the world tell you that you can't buy anything? Well, I'll find something. I'll buy something. I'll make something. I got to get a job. Another, well, maybe you can be touchy with your jobs for the men. How do the men dress? How do the men behave? Or are we just changing? Is change okay? Well, now I'm going to do my hair different. I'm going to do my fingernails different. I'm going to do my car different. I'm going to drive differently. New Year's Day every morning when you get up and you're going to make these resolutions. And you, before you know it, you're changing. I think I got this right. It was in Friendly's store in Rochester, New York, where I heard my first monkeys. Monkeys. Recording, I'm a believer. And next thing I remember now, I'm listening to Elvis Presley singing some stuff that you can't even talk to clerks about. And now when you listen to some of the music in these stores, in these modern stores, boy, I'll tell you, it's just wicked stuff. But it's change. What kind of change do we go along with? And where do we draw the line on this change? A little bit higher, a little bit higher, a little bit higher, a little bit tighter, a little bit tighter, a little bit lower, a little bit lower, a little bit louder, a little bit louder. How long does it take? Oh, you know, I think there's a couple of verses about that leaven of the whole lump. It's scary stuff. Because remember, we went back to the first couple here. When we're being seduced, we don't know it. Now let's do another one here. Here's the reason some folks are going backwards. Just a quick little comment here. They spend more time in Facebook than they do in the book face-to-face with the Lord. See, I like that. I like that. Maybe I'll even throw that on Facebook. Hugh, you want to get on Facebook tonight and let's just go after everybody? Oh, could I have a good time? Oh, I'd be bounced and cut out or whatever. But anyway, yeah, people are spending time in Facebook and they're keeping their face out of their book. So, whatever. Well, what else we got here? What else we got here? There's so many things here. I'm going to go back to that one. I still want to talk about that thing. Where did it go? Where did it go here? I still got a chance. I still think it's in Galatians 3. So I'm going to go back. Let's go back to Galatians. I can't let that thing slip by tonight. I have an opportunity. I don't want to pass it up. Galatians chapter 3. No, it's Galatians. See, Galatians 3, 1. So it's 3. 1 to 3. Okay. Dash 1 to 5. And then it has verse 4 and 5 for my key verses. That's what it is. Here we got. Okay, I'm back. Here we go. Don't anybody leave. Here we go. We get done asking whether you're foolish because you've been bewitched and you think that you've begun things in the Spirit, you truly got saved, and now you're going to go back to your walk to earn God's blessings. Here's a great... we got out there. Where's Brian? Brian, you'll like this one because you've got people that are... say that they believe that they're getting God's blessings and you'll see where I'm going to this thing. And he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So they're trying to make everything, they're trying to get God's blessings now by doing right. Now look what it says. Have ye suffered so many things in vain? So in other words, what's he saying there? Come on, you've been bewitched. And you're suffering. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Wouldn't that be horrible to know that you sacrificed in vain and it wasn't anything to God? Now, next verse. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, that still tells you right there that the Lord is still with us. The Spirit of God is still in us. The Spirit of God is trying to guide us. I don't doubt that. But you just got to remember that this is before the Scriptures came out, 1 Corinthians 13:10. In fact, I got something on that too. I'll find that in a minute here. And have you suffered so many things in vain? Because they're trying to do stuff in the flesh. See my point? They're trying to do stuff in the flesh to earn God's blessings. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Then he says in verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? He says, even if it yet be in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, both he doeth by the works of the law, by the hearing of men. Oh, well. That's some good stuff. That Bible has this all in there. I'm always running over my cord down here. Okay. So while we're being seduced, we're trying to walk the walk to get God's blessings. It's in vain. Now, we can please God, no doubt. We know that from Paul. We can please God. We should please God. But the blessings, people want our physical blessings, and we know what that turns out to be here. What are we doing time-wise here? Let's look at some more things. We got a minute here. There's that page taken care of. Here's this page taken care of. No. Oh, here we go. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's something else that we do. We underestimate the devil. You know, you got these Baptist guys that are saying, first you got the crowd that says, I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun. And we know that's just blab. But then you've got these guys that say, you know, most of our problems are our fault. The devil gets too much credit. And you know, when you look at Paul, here's Paul's message. And we know that in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, the devil hindered Paul. So what we're trying to tell people here, we're trying to live something, we're trying to dress decently, we're trying to be so soft, we're trying to not do the job thing, we're trying to be the men we're supposed to be, and all this kind of stuff. And the devil's trying to hinder that stuff. Sure, we got our flesh, we got our laziness, we got our mistakes, we got da-da-da-da. But the devil's trying to stop you from having that testimony. He's got ministers of what? Ministers of righteousness that are teaching about good things. Then we got that, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Oh, how marvelous. So, just keep on doing your stuff and the grace will abound more. It's just not the right things that we should be doing here. Oh, well, what else we got here? Oh, I got some quotes. I got to show you some Facebook quotes here. I hope nobody's out there on Facebook now doing stuff. While we're doing this, maybe I'm being patched in, huh? Wouldn't that be nice? Here we go. Blank, I know the name of this person. She writes twice now. Blank is blessed. And I know that this is a smokescreen because I know the struggles that are going on in that home. And she gets on there and she says, oh, my life is so blessed. And then everybody else out there who's having a struggle, they have to type back, oh, isn't God just wonderful, you know, and say a good thing to somebody today. Just be a good, you know, just say a good word kind of a thing, you know, and why would, you know, listen to this one. Had a good walk, and the children are in bed, !! Are your children so rotten that you're only happy when your kids are in bed? I pick up a lot of that on Facebook. I get in trouble for that one. Had some ladies out there, they were just talking about, why don't kids go do this and go do that? I wrote down there and I said, sound like you don't like to have your kids around. What kind of Christian mother is that? That I'm still hearing about that one. Here we got, I like this one. Hope to get all my, this is what people do. They got these busy days, they sit down and they go, you know. Here's this lady sits down and says, hope to get all my stuff done so I can sit on the couch and eat ice cream. You should see the picture of this lady. Anyway. Isn't seeing your hubby great? And I know what's going on between that hubby and that wifey. Going shopping with my mother, just on the blue. So you're going to get in the car with your mother, going to go shopping. Just a minute, I got to go on Facebook and tell everybody I'm going shopping with you. What is this stuff? Wrong book. They got their face in the wrong book. I just had to give you a couple examples here. 3 more days of school than I get a vacation. You're tired of your kids? That kind of stuff does bother me intently when I read people complain about their children. They want to be gone. Now, here's one. I'm still trying to figure this one out. Be the person you want your children to be. That's whatever. Here, I hate this one. Go, girl. Boy, I hate that one. I hate that one. I hope you ladies out there don't tell your other friends, go, girl. Go, woman. Go, fatso. Try that one. Go, dad. Go, hunk. Go, grump. Ugh. I'm getting stirred lately, and I can't tell you why, but it's just, there's things going on that, I mean, I may be a public school little kindergarten teacher, but a lot of things still keep in touch, and I tell you, it's just tearing me up here. Here's one. Somebody typed this in there. I'm taking too long on this Facebook stuff. I just can't get over Facebook. We ordered our garden seeds today. I got to go back to this one. Oh, I never did the last one here. Hoping today is going to be a better and more productive day than yesterday. Well, get off Facebook and it will be. I want to type back that to her so badly, but I won't. I'm the new me. Well, we can do a couple more. Should we maybe try to wrap this up? We got 15 minutes to make it legit. I can probably finish this all tonight, I guess. It might come up with some other. I got some other ones here. You know what? Why some people are just going backwards? Just rebellion. They're just rebelling. You know, Paul talks about that battle that he had, and people get tired of this battle. They recognize it as folly, and so they rebel. They don't just leave; they rebel. They kind of rub it in your face, Dad. They kind of rub it in your face, Pastor. They kind of rub it in your face, sweet. You know, that kind of stuff. And it's just rebellion. Now somebody's going to accuse you of being rebellion. I'm your father. You should obey me. I'm your husband. You should obey me. Don't go down there. Come on. That's a bunch of childish garbage, the way they put that thing out there. Then we always also got, and rebellion is the same as witchcraft. Got to remember that. Devil could be part of that, all behind that rebellion all the time. Here's another one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. If you do the things Paul teaches you to do, you can have the God of peace. So I believe that you need to be saved through that part of the Bible that talks through Paul. Because he worries about another Jesus. We could be talking with people here all over the Facebook, all over this country, all over this website stuff here that people listen to it, and you might not even have the real Savior. You might have another Jesus, another spirit, another something here. You got another spirit, you got another Jesus, another gospel, presented by another gospel. I still enjoy asking Christians, how do you know you haven't got another Jesus? Well, I guess I just got to believe, you know, kind of a thing. Whatever. So we got rebellion, we got people probably not even saved. So I had a couple more little oddballs. I did. I got to claim the change and yeah. Well, how are we doing here? Wrap this thing up here. Those are old ones here. There's that, underestimating the enemy, still caught up. Well, some people are still caught up in the folly of religion. Anyway, I guess we can do this one here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is one more thing here. This is a tough one. Because I don't know what to say about this one. I don't know what to say. Is my cam froze? I move it. Nope. Okay, so I got. That's not what's freezing here. Okay, this is a tough one because I don't know what to tell people about this one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 to 15. That's the church today. This is why we have local church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. If your church is not perfecting you, the saint, if your church is not involved in the work of Paul's ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's in Ephesians chapter 4, then what are we doing? We can't stay there. Isn't that hard? See, what we're missing here is fellowship. We're missing what we're supposed to get out of church. And that's hard. We're supposed to be fed. We're supposed to be able to be encouraged by somebody else. We don't need to go to church and recognize the worldliness. We don't need to go to church and hear all the bickering and all the negative stuff. And I can't go there. But everybody goes to Acts chapter 2. We've got to get along with everybody. We're going to break bread together and let's all get together around the flagpole and da-da-da-da. So, why do we go back? Sometimes we go back because we actually are starving for some fellowship. And for what comes with it. Now, get on the website, go down to where you type in the sermon title and you try to find the material on it, and type in the Brethren. And there's a sermon, I think I've even got a chart on it, on what Paul says we need the brethren for. And see, if we don't have the church with that kind of brethren, then we're missing on what it is that Paul is trying to get us to get out of a church. And that's hard. I got that thought today. I was driving home from school and all that stuff, and I drove through downtown Kadoka. And again, because we bought a house, $3 more a month than we're paying for rent, and so that kind of da-da-da. And I'm looking at the town, I'm thinking, you know, unless something comes up with God through preaching or a church or something, this is where we're here to die. I just, oh, that was a depressing thought. There's no church, there's no fellowship for anybody we can talk about this with, except for you guys on the website. And then I got to thinking, Floyd, you say the same thing. Mark, you're saying the same thing. Adriana and Brian, how many people have you lost? Michael, you're struggling. I mean, Mike, did you ever get a job yet? Let me know if you ever got a job yet, Michael. Yeah, it's tough stuff. So we give up sometimes because we just got tired of being alone. And I so hope you don't do that, because somebody's making sure you're alone and they're waiting for you to come back to the fold so you can have that happy stuff there. Uh-oh, something happened apparently here. Mark is calling. What's going on? Did we lose it? Did we lose it? Did we lose it? Okay, I'm going to keep going because I got it on the video, so I'll just check with you later. So apparently out there in the web world, we lost the whole website or something. I don't know. So we'll just keep going here in case anybody's there. Well, we should wrap this thing up here pretty soon. I think I'll just save these for one more shot. We got a couple more we can talk about here. But see, here, bottom line here, folks, is I guess it's just the pastor in me or something. Maybe it's the snoopiness in me or the I don't like to see the people out there that don't like the Paul stuff, and yet they say they're Paul stuff, get a victory by watching us go backwards. It just stirs me up. Getting shorter, coming up higher, coming down lower, getting tighter, getting louder. Husbands and fathers, taking your kids places in your family you shouldn't be taking them. Taking your kids, your family, your wife on a date someplace that you shouldn't be taking her to. And then yak about it on Facebook. And we wonder why people are going back. I don't wonder why people are going backwards. The scriptures say they're going to go backwards. We all have personal objectives that are just overwhelming. But Paul does tell us to still get a victory. He still does. And I just don't have the long-suffering and patience I need to have to help that thing go, I guess. Be encouraging. I get kind of preachy about stuff. I get kind of stirred lately, too. I don't know why that is. Well, we got more stuff coming up here on this subject.